Okay, take your Bibles and turn to Matthew 22. And I'll do the same. We're going to start in verse 34. This is a section you're all familiar with, I am sure. So, verse 34, it says, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying." The guy was a lawyer, probably means he was a scribe, because those were the guys that were really, you know, supposedly experts in the law. And he says, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus answered him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." What a great section. And you know, even though he's speaking to the Pharisees, what he said is still true, isn't it? It's not just for the Old Testament times, or it's not just for that particular administration, but that would go across all administrations. And it's interesting, because I was looking for something, and the word "all" is the word "olos" in Greek, and it means the whole, or the whole of it, the complete whole of whatever it is. So when it says, "Love God with all your heart," it means all of your heart. And heart is what? The innermost part of your being, not the physical pump that pumps blood, but it's the innermost part of your being, the center of your life, your personal life. The word "soul" is the word "psuche," which is the life in manifestation, or breath life. And the mind is an interesting word. It's dianoia. It means a thinking through or a reflective exercise of the heart, a mature thought. You know, it's not just the passing whim, but it's, you know, deep in there, and you've given it a lot of thought, and your mind is solid on it. So with your whole heart, with your whole soul, and with your whole mind. And I thought about this because I was talking to somebody recently. And you know how people will say, well, you know, they love God. And I thought about that. So, well, they love God, okay. So somebody was telling me about this guy that goes to their fellowship in another place. And, you know, he witnesses, he comes to fellowship on a somewhat regular basis, but he's a homosexual. And I said, well, he loves God to a point, right? He loves God to a point, but he draws a line, because it's not his whole heart and his whole mind. Because what does God say about homosexuality? It's wrong, right? It's just absolutely, it's a reprobate mind. So, and you know, maybe we all have stuff in there where we draw the line, but we shouldn't, and we should attempt not to, right? We should want to love God and with all our mind, all our life, all our mind, you know, our heart and our mind and our life. It's a total selling out to God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, because he totally sold out to us, right? And what does it mean to love, you know, when you think about it? So let's go to Ephesians. Because I want to love God like that. I don't want to draw the line in my life anywhere. I don't want to hold back. I don't want to just pull up short. You know, I want to be there. And, you know, it's not that God expects us to be perfect, right? If we make a mistake, you know, we recognize it, we thank God for his forgiveness, we move on. And he's more than happy to do that, right? He's more than happy. He wants to be in fellowship with us. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." And the word followers, you know, is that word. It means imitators. Just like a little child imitates, you know, girls will imitate their mothers. I don't know what they do today, but I remember when I was a kid, they would wear high heels and put on lipstick and have little toy kitchens and little doll carriages and stuff to pretend they were like their mom. And guys would get, you know, little toy tool sets to... I remember when Jeffrey was probably 4 years old and he would want to help me do stuff. You know, I'd be outside working in the yard or something. And actually, we lived in New Hampshire at the time. And he'd want to help me in it. But then he'd want to do what he wanted to do, not what I needed him to do. You know, I'd have to instruct him. But he wanted to be like me, you know, unfortunately.
Still does.
Yeah, still does. I got to correct him on that. Anyway, he could be better than me. And that's what we really all want for our children, right? To be better than us. Okay, so what does it mean to be an imitator of God? Well, there's a couple of verses that help us a little bit. Matthew chapter 4, or 5 rather. Matthew chapter 5. And verse 43. Everybody there? Okay. "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you," this is Jesus Christ speaking, right? He's speaking, I'm not sure who he's speaking to here. I didn't look it up. I didn't read the whole contents.
But Sermon on the Mount.
Is that what? Oh, yeah, that's what it is, the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, so it's a lot of people. Some of them, the Pharisees were there hanging out and Sadducees, but then other people that wanted to hear him, and there's others that, you know, wanted to be part of the event, you know. And he said, "You have heard that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." That's Jesus Christ speaking, right? He always spoke the Father's will, right? So we know that this is God's will. "That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." And, you know, you got to take the context there, you know, because people will quote that out of context. The rain falls on the just and the unjust and all that stuff. "For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so?" Publicans is like, you know, a synonym almost for sinners, right? Tax collectors, guys that do not so great things. "Be ye therefore perfect or mature, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Perfect meaning maturity of godliness, you know. So lots of times you talk to believers. I've had this experience many times. And they always want to tell you how they've been hurt or who hurt them or what happened in the past. Well, so what? Past is past. It's over with. It's gone. We're supposed to love everybody. You know, Greg and I did that teaching on the anointed of the Lord. Every believer is anointed. So no matter what they do, they're the anointed of the Lord. So we should love them. We should forgive them. We should do our best for them. God's desire is that we love everybody, right?
Yeah.
Saint and sinner alike. And that's the way we get people to come to God, you know, whether they deserve it or not. And a lot of times people, when you love them, they know they don't deserve it. But you love them anyway. And that makes an impact on their life. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 31. It says here, "And as ye would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise." You know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, or love thy neighbors, that want to be loved, and all that stuff. "For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same." You know, this sets us on another plane, right?
Yeah.
From what the way other people are and the way the world is. We kind of see it playing out in the news, you know, whether it's right or wrong, but, you know, Trump is talking about reciprocal tariffs. Meaning, you know, if you give us good tariffs, we'll give you good tariffs. Otherwise, we're going to give you what you give us. You know, it's not what Jesus Christ is talking about here, but you see the point. So, verse 33 again. "If you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do the same, do even the same. And if ye lend to them whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies and do good, and lend hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." That's pretty interesting. God is kind even to the unthankful and to the evil. And, you know, sometimes we're unthankful, but he's always kind to us, right?
Yeah.
But, and of course, the unbeliever is very unthankful. "And to the evil. Be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful." And, you know, what does that mean? It means to be empathetic and help people, right? You don't give them what they deserve, but you give them what they don't deserve, which is your love and your help and your blessings. "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven." Well, you know, we're already forgiven, aren't we? And so on and so forth. And then it goes into "give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet withal shall it be measured to you again." And that doesn't just mean what? It doesn't just mean money or things, but it's what? Your love, your forgiveness, your help, your mercy, anything that you do in your life. So when we talk about, go back to Ephesians chapter 5. So when it says here, be imitators of God, you know, we see here where Jesus Christ talked about how God is good and kind to everybody. You know, God wants everybody to be whole. He wants everybody to be healed. God wants everybody to be born again, doesn't he? He would have that all men be saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth. So that should be our attitude as well. And then in verse 2, it says, "And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." So that's great. We're to walk in love as Christ also loved us. And again, we know that God, Jesus Christ always did God's will. He always spoke God's words. He always did what God wanted him to do. He always did the things that pleased the Father. And so that should be our goal too. You know, if we're going to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, that's where we need to train it. That's where we need to focus it. Love requires walking. Walking means what? It means how you conduct your life, how you live. So if I say I love God with all my heart, soul, and mind, what does that mean? You know, it means I have to conduct my life that way. It has to involve every aspect of my life. You know, God loves us. Again, we're to be imitators of God. And God loves us, and what did he do about it? Well, let's go to John 3:16. You all know this verse. I know this is a really simple teaching, but to me it had an impact. Just thinking about it, you know. And so many times, people say, well, he loves God. Well, what does he do if he loves God? You know, I know lots of people that have raised kids and their kids go off and do all kinds of stuff. And they'll say, well, he loves God. Does he go to fellowship? No. Well, what does he do? Well, he just loves God. Well, what does he do? You know, and maybe they do have this thing in their heart for God. But again, what do? They draw a line. They don't want it to interfere too much in their lives. Well, that's a bad attitude, really. You know, God, we want God to interfere in our lives, right? It shouldn't be an interference. It should be a blessing. And you know, you want God in every aspect of your life. What is saying in Proverbs, trust the Lord
with all your heart,
and he shall direct thy paths. Yeah. So, John 3:16, what does it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You know, God did what? He gave. He gave the full measure of what he could give. His love was, he didn't hold back a thing, did he? It was without any strings attached. He just, here it is. I love you, so I'm sending my son, and he's paying the full and absolutely total price for you, no matter what you've done in your life. Whether you loved God or not, it was for you. Let's go to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 3. It says in verse 8, and this is, you know, Peter writing to believers, Hebrew believers, but believers. Finally, verse 8, chapter 3 and verse 8. Finally, be all of one mind. Have compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. And the word pitiful means be kind. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing. Knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Eschew means what? Turn away, repulse it, get rid of it. Eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it or pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So, we could never do evil because we're born again. Let's go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Says, he that knoweth not God, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested the love of God toward us. So if we're going to be imitators of God, we have to love, right? And who would we love first and foremost, and with everything we have, God. For this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation. It's a big word. Just really means payment. He paid the price, the ransom for our sins. He loved us first, not because we loved him, not because we were goody-goodies, or we were so perfect, or, you know, like, you know, look at religion and what they tell you you have to do to get to God, or to whatever they're going towards, because not all of them are going to God, right? Some of them are going towards nirvana, or a better life, move up the scale of the evolutionary chain, right? And in, what is it? Reincarnation. Things like that. And they do some crazy, crazy stuff to do those things. You know, they beat themselves. They make pilgrimages. They starve themselves. They do all kinds of stuff. God doesn't ask us to do anything like that. He sent his Son because he loved us. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So there you have it. If we love God, we love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. How great is that? Let's go down to verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. You know, we didn't really have the ability to love him until he loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. And, you know, that's what we're supposed to do. Let's go to chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Son of Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. So what does that mean? It means, you know, we are born of God, and we love him that begot and loveth him also that is begotten. We love God because he begot us, and we love everybody that's also begotten. You know, everybody else that's a brother, you get really begotten in that. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. You know, if we love God, we love two things. We love his Son, Jesus Christ, and we love his word. And what, so if we love his word and we're loving God with all our heart, then we do our best to do his word, no matter whether we like it or not. You know, he doesn't tell us that we have to like it. He just says, do it. You know, there may be somebody out there that you don't want to love. You know, they repulse you. But so what? That's not what God says. Maybe somebody that really hurt you. So what? You're still supposed to love them. You know, we may not always love God with all our heart and with all our mind, with all our soul, all the time. But that should be our goal and our desire, you know, to be better and better at it. Let's go to Romans, and we're going to close there. Romans 12. My Bible turned right there because I've looked at it so many times. In verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The word bodies here is used figuratively to refer to the whole person, you know, every aspect of our being. So we are to present our whole being as a living sacrifice. What's a sacrifice? If in the Old Testament, when they sacrificed an animal, say they did a sin sacrifice, so they had to present a sheep, or a male sheep, without blemish. So they had to go find a perfect sheep. And then they had to bring it to the priest, and they had to kill it, in which they would slit their throat and shed their blood, right? And then the priest would take the blood and sprinkle it on the altar and make intercession for the person. Well, if you give that sheep, you can't get it back, can you? It's a total giving. And that's what a sacrifice is, when you sacrifice. We use the word sacrifice today. I'll sacrifice this for, you know, some reason. But what does it really mean, though? It's a total giving in some way or another. And here God says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice, but a living sacrifice, something that continues on day after day, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or logical service. That's what God wants us to do. So we are to love God with all our hearts, all our souls, and all our minds. And we do that every day. And we may not be perfect at it, but we should endeavor to get better and better at it. You know, it's a thing of growth. And until when? The return of Christ. And then we'll be perfect. But until that time, we have to just keep working at it. But that's what he wants us to do. And we, you know, when you see that you've drawn a line somewhere in your life, you know, that's where you say, okay, I have to get rid of that line. I have to give my all to God. I have to get past that. So, Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we can have that opportunity to love you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, that we can lock into you, that we can do our best as your son, who was the great example of loving you with everything he had, that he was totally obedient to your words, that he listened all the time, and that we have him in us, and we too can walk like he did. So we just thank you, God, that you allow us that privilege to do our best, to make mistakes, to fall down and pick ourselves up, and that you're always there for us all the time to bless us, to love us, to help us. And we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.